1 Corinthians chapter 4 and the first 5 verses of the chapter. But for the moment, we'll just read verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Our theme this morning is the real account. The real account. As we embark on this chapter, we could say that we are on the home straight, as it were, of the apostles' treatment of the party spirit problem that had arisen in the church at Corinth. And his treatment, which was designed to show the need for a right view of the ministers of the Word of God. Now, I want to be free and frank with you and say that ministers, I think most ministers, find it difficult to preach about ministers. It can seem arrogant or self-important, or it can seem like an exercise in self-defense, or as if he has some axe to grind, or something that he wants to get off his chest. Well, I don't want to do any of those things this morning, but I do want to help you to understand the meaning of this part of Holy Scripture. And it is with that in view that we look first of all at the authority that ministers do not have. The authority that ministers do not have. The apostle says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. Ministers of Christ. And the word ministers here, it's not the usual word. The original word means an under-rower. An under-rower. That is a common sailor under the captain. And the idea is of the great ships of those times, which were sailing ships and where there were many, many oars, banks of oars, and the under-rower was one of the ordinary sailors who manned the oars and who was under the authority of the captain. Now that's its original idea. It came to be used in common speech as referring to the lower classes of servants or attendants in any particular sphere or field of work. And it's used here to emphasize the complete subjection to Christ that is required of the preachers of the word. That they have no independent authority at all. They are under Christ at all times in their work. They should have nothing to preach to men that originates in their own mind and imagination. There should be nothing in the content of preaching that is an invention of their minds or of the minds of others. Everything that they declare should be in order to bring to men and to explain and to make clear to men the truth revealed by God in Holy Scripture. So there's the authority that ministers do not have. They have no independent authority, no authority except from Christ and as exercised under Christ. Secondly, the authority that ministers do have. The authority that ministers do have. He says there that they are stewards of the mysteries of God. The word steward is a word that it comes from the word house, and the idea would be that of a house manager. The one put in charge of the house, in the way that in Genesis Potiphar put Joseph in charge of his house. Joseph was responsible to direct the household and to oversee the house and to dispense the provisions of the house for the good of the household and under the authority of his master. And the apostle says that ministers are stewards, house managers of the mysteries of God. Now, this phrase, the mysteries of God, we have seen on numerous occasions that the term refers to God's plans, unknowable to man, unreachable by the wisdom of man, but revealed by God. That is the sense of the word mysteries, not something weird or strange or eerie, but God's secret plans revealed. So in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 3 to 5, Ephesians 3 verse 3 to 5, the apostle says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So there he's saying that God's plan that the gospel should be spread freely among the nations, and he should gather a people out of the nations through faith in Christ Jesus and him crucified, that was always God's plan. But it is known by men only because God has made it known. Or in Romans 16 and verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. He's saying that the mystery is God's plan to save sinners, and to save sinners from all nations through Christ crucified. It was hidden in the mind of God, but now it is made known. It was made known in a measure through the prophets, and now more fully through the apostles, for the obedience of faith among the nations. So the mysteries of God are God's plans that we could never know, except that God has revealed them to us in the scriptures. So God's revealed secrets are the mysteries of God. They are not to be equated with the sacraments. Roman Catholicism says the mysteries are the sacraments, and therefore the minister of God takes on a priestly role and is given some mysterious power to cause the sacraments to be effective in the conveying of divine grace. That is entirely wrong. It has nothing to do with what the apostle is talking about here. The stewards of the mysteries of God are those appointed by the Lord to dispense the truth of God to the household of God. That is the work, the distinctive work of a minister, to dispense God's revealed secrets, to declare to the house of God what God has revealed in Holy Scripture. They are to be called of God for that work, and in his name they are to declare God's truth, and they have his authority to do so. That means that you and I also, when I'm at the other end and listening to preaching, you are required to submit to the authority of God when the truth is declared by his stewards. This is not optional. Not ever. Not one sermon can be legitimately ignored. If that sermon is setting forth the truth of Scripture, then it cannot be legitimately set aside and taken no notice of. And we need to cultivate the godly spiritual habit of listening to the truth, receiving the truth, following the truth, and it will be for your good. Because biblical truth is God's provision for his household. He charges his stewards to dispense it in ample quantities to his people. That's why you should try to be there at all the meal times in order to be nourished in the truth of God. That's why we insist on so much preaching. Because every minister ought to be determined that if his people are going to be spiritually emaciated, it will be not because of lack of provision being made available. That if they are spiritually undernourished, it's not because spiritual fare has not been brought before them regularly and in adequate amounts. So don't be a spiritual anorexic, refusing to eat properly until you get into such a state that you don't know how to eat properly. Take in the truth of God. Don't be mentally lazy. Don't refuse to use your mind that God has given you prayerfully to understand the truth of God. There are professing Christians who have magnificent minds that they use for everything else, for their careers and so on and so forth. They'll apply their minds, but when it comes to the truth of God, they will not use their mental energies to study and to seek to understand and to listen and to follow the preaching of the truth of God. Don't be mentally lazy. But then when it's in the mind, make sure it gets to the heart so that you don't just have an intellectual knowledge of the truth, but you're seeking to live by the words that come from the mouth of God. Thirdly, the faithfulness that God requires. The faithfulness that God requires. Verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. This governed Paul's whole ministry. He was God's steward. He had to obey God. He sought to please God. He sought to preach God's truth to the glory of God. He did it at Philippi, where they beat him and put him in the stocks. But he still did it at Athens, where the intelligentsia laughed at him. And he still did it at Corinth, where there was uproar, and at Ephesus. And so it went on, because he was a steward of God. Ministers who are determined to please men cannot please God. The Apostle Paul didn't go out to upset people, but his concern above all was to please God. And ministers who are determined to please men cannot please God. Galatians 1 verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So ministers who seek to please men, whose concern is to please men, yes, people might think they're wonderful men, but they're a curse. They're a curse upon any people, because they deprive people of the truth of God, and people need above all else the truth that God has made known. Nothing else is of any use to any of us but the truth of God. And men who claim to be ministers of Christ and who do not declare the truth of God, who want to keep people sweet and happy, these men are a curse. Because we need truth. Truth is good for us if we receive it into our hearts. Even when the truth hurts, we need it. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Fourthly, the assessment that doesn't really matter. The assessment that doesn't really matter. Verse 3. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. The apostle does not mean that he couldn't care less about their feelings. Nor does it mean that his feelings were unhurt by their criticisms. But it does mean that their opinion really was of very little importance compared with the Lord's assessment. You see, he says, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. And you see, if you have a margin Bible, that the word judgment is the word for day. And what he's saying is that I should be judged of man's day doesn't matter compared with that judgment of the day of the Lord. The day of man's judgment is of no great consequence. Paul is the Lord's steward, not the Corinthian steward. He is under Christ and he's accountable to the Lord. And what the Corinthians think compared with what the Lord thinks is really trivial. And then fifthly, we have the self-assessment that cannot be relied upon. The self-assessment that cannot be relied upon. You may have heard in the news that there was under consideration a new method of collecting income tax, that the Inland Revenue are looking at the idea of self-assessment for tax purposes. The news commentator I heard said it will rely a great deal on people's honesty, and so it will. It will be interesting if it ever comes about. Well now, the Apostle Paul didn't trust himself for self-assessment as to his faithfulness. In verse 4 he says, for I know nothing by myself. Now what he's saying there is, I am conscious of nothing in myself. That is, he was not conscious of having been unfaithful. He had sought to be faithful, and in his mind and in his conscience he was not aware of having been unfaithful. But he says, yet am I not hereby justified. That is, that doesn't mean that he was blameless. What he's saying is, I'm not competent to assess my own faithfulness. He says, I'm not competent to make a thorough and full self-assessment. You see, even for the Christian, our consciences are only partially enlightened, and our hearts are still sinful and biased. And the only infallible and totally thorough assessment is the Lord's. He's saying he couldn't even rely upon his own assessment. His own assessment of himself was not infallible, not thorough, not all-inclusive. I judge not mine own self. And so, finally, the account that should really concern us. The account that should really concern us. Verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. The Corinthians thought they could assess everything. Certainly they ought to have assessed the outward doctrine preached. That was right. The apostle isn't telling us here that there is never to be any assessment in the church of God. Of course there is. There is to be assessment as to whether that which is preached is the truth. There is to be assessment by the elders of those who would be members of the church of Christ as to whether in terms of outward profession and conduct and what can be known, there are grounds for treating that person as a Christian. There is to be that kind of assessment. But all assessment of that sort is going to be limited. It is going to be fallible. It is going to be outward and based on what is outward. But the Corinthians, they thought that they could assess everything, that they could assess the inner state and the motives of the Apostle Paul, that they knew all, and they didn't. But the Apostle is saying, don't think you know. Don't think you can assess beyond what you see and hear, because you can't. Don't try to work out my motives or Apollos' motives or Cephas' motives, because you can't. Don't judge those things before the time. But when that day comes, when the day of the Lord comes, everything will be clear. It's clear before the Lord now, but at that day, it will all be brought out into the open. The hidden things of darkness, those secret things, those hidden sins and hidden motives that no man can see, all will be brought out into the open in that day. And then shall every man have praise of God. That is, what is worth something will meet with the approval of God, no more and no less. And that will be the real test. It will be the real test for ministers. The Lord knows the motives of ministers. He knows my motives in preaching to you. But He also knows what's in your heart as you listen. You see, he says, then shall every man have praise of God. Everyone will be assessed in all that they have done. And that's the judgment that should concern every one of us. Preacher and hearers. He sees us every time we listen to preaching, or every time we don't listen. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what we're doing with truth declared in our ears, whether we're ignoring it, whether we're raising objections to it, or whether we're receiving it. He knows all that. If you're a Christian, do you live in the light of that great day, seeking to have your conscience enlightened and shaped by the truth of God, and seeking grace to walk in the truth, to conform yourself to the word of the Lord? But then, what if you're not a Christian? If you're not a Christian, then you are utterly unprepared for that day. You're not ready for that day at all. And no sham profession will do. You might be able to fool men, but you'll not fool God. He sees. And if your profession is a sham, He knows it's a sham. If you said you're a Christian and you live reasonably decently, but there's no more to it than that, He knows that. So the Apostle Paul in Philippians says that his great desire was to be found in Christ, to be found in Him, and in His righteousness. And that should be your great concern also, that you should be found in Christ, that you should have Christ's righteousness imputed to you, reckoned as yours. And the promise of God is that all who abandon their pride and self-confidence and false hopes and wishful thinking come to the Lord Jesus Christ as helpless, needy sinners and seek Him to save them and trust Him and call upon Him and only Him to save them from their sins, as the one who bore the guilt of sin on the cross of Calvary and who fulfilled all righteousness on behalf of sinners, all who trust only in Him, then God will accept them on the basis of what Christ has done as the sin bearer and as the one who was truly righteous in all that He did. That righteousness, that bearing of guilt, will be reckoned to every believer, everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ alone. And that above all else is what you need for that day when the secrets of men's hearts will be made manifest. Are you ready for that day? Or do you just have a charade, a sham that impresses men but is utterly empty before God? If you're not a Christian, if you've only pretended to be a Christian, or even if you haven't pretended but you're not a Christian, you must seek the Lord Jesus Christ. You must seek salvation, and He will be found of you when you shall seek Him and search with all your heart. He says not, seek ye me in vain. He says, they that seek me will find me.